from D. James Kennedy Ministries. This is Kennedy Classics. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Hello, and welcome to Kennedy Classics, a viewer-supported program. I'm Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. We would love for you to visit our ministry website at djkm.org, where you can find a rich collection of digital, audio, video, and print resources, all from a biblical perspective. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. On this command, Jesus said, hang all the law and the prophets. Loving God is a commandment. It is the law of love. With our fallen nature, we are no more capable of keeping that command, at least in our own strength, than we are of any other command in the law. Yet the Scripture reminds us that the law of God is innate. It is written on our hearts. We know it already. In sharp contrast to the law, which condemns us from within, comes the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is an external announcement and a very surprising one at that. God's decision to rescue us from the judgment of the law through the perfect work of Christ runs contrary to our common understanding. Every other religious system that expresses some faith in a personal God expects God to somehow set aside His justice in order to extend His mercy. This is because the law makes sense to unbelievers, and mercy, in their natural understanding, must involve some suspension of justice. Of course, their false hope is that their accumulated good works will somehow motivate God to forego judgment and grant them mercy. This is why the gospel message is so astonishing. Only in Christianity is the mercy of God established through His justice. And only through Christ could this justice ever be fulfilled. Here is Dr. D. James Kennedy with his message, What's So Amazing About Grace?
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, we shall begin reading with verse 1. A magnificent passage of Holy Writ. May we hear the inspired word of God. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And may God speak to our hearts again this day through this His holy word, and may His name ever be praised. Amen. What's so amazing about grace? Well, that's a question that only someone who has never experienced it could ask. We talk about amazing grace, we sing about amazing grace, and yet I'm sure that there are many people, even in the church, that don't know what's so amazing about grace. And certainly, this country is filled with them. Easily, a majority of people in this nation do not even know what grace is. What is so amazing about grace? Of course, amazing means astounding, astonishing, bewildering, perplexing. Why is it that grace is so astonishing, bewildering, perplexing, and causing overwhelming wonder? Well, grace is that attitude in the heart of God that causes Him to be favorable toward wretches like you and me and all the rest of us wretches on this planet of wretches. Why is it so amazing? Well, as I said, perhaps the most amazing thing is that in this nation founded by Christians on Christian principles, that the majority of people in this country don't even know what it is. And I say that to our shame. There's not a person in this nation who shouldn't understand, at least intellectually, what grace is, because we should have told them all. Well, what's so amazing about grace? Let me try to name the ways. First of all, it's amazing because it is so rare. This world doesn't operate by grace. Grace is virtually alien to it. We operate on the basis, at best, of equity. Unfortunately, in many cases, on inequity, crime, theft, deceit, but at best, on the basis of equity, that is, a quid pro quo, a tit for tat, this for that. You pay so much and you get so much in return. That is the basic operative principle of this world. It is the antithesis of grace. And therefore, we don't see it. And that's what makes something amazing. One of the things that makes it amazing is because it is so rare. Secondly, it's amazing because it is so undeserved. That, I think, is probably the first thing that hits people. And when I ask a number of people why grace was amazing, that was the only reason that anybody gave, because it is so undeserved. And that's what grace is. It is undeserved favor. Well, not exactly. Grace isn't merely undeserved favor. That's a definition of mercy, not grace. And mercy is lower than grace. As love is lower than grace. We may mercifully give a beggar $5 when we pass him in the street. That's an act of mercy, of undeserved favor. He didn't do anything for that. He didn't work for you. You had compassion and you gave him $5. Ah, but had that beggar the previous week climbed through a window of your home when you were away, raped and killed your wife and two daughters. And you found him and gave him $5 million. That would have been grace. Undeserved favor to people who deserve absolute disfavor is the meaning of grace. We are not neutral. It's amazing to me how many Americans think that they could be neutral about God. They can just sit on the fence as an observer. There are no people who are neutral. We are either for him or we are against him, Christ said. There is no fence. Are you for him? Are you against him? Well, he gives his grace to those who were opposed to him when we were yet enemies. At enmity toward God, Christ died for the ungodly. So many people will say, well, God helps those that help themselves. Well, there may be a sense in which that's true. God helps those that help themselves to the money in somebody else's cash register or wallet or something else. But the idea that God helps those that help themselves, you try hard, work diligently, be noble, keep your nose clean, and if you fall a little short, God will make up the difference. No way. God helps the helpless. There is nothing that we can do in order to prepare ourselves to receive God's grace. He pours it out on the most unworthy of people. To the least, God gives his grace. It is totally, completely undeserved. How many people, especially people that grow up in a Christian home, think they've done pretty well, thank you, and surely they have contributed something to their salvation? It is not so at all. It's given to people who are enemies, not A students in the class. Because we are all infected with this root problem of sin. And let me tell you, every one of us has that horrible disease in our hearts. Does God want it in heaven? No, he threw it out. And we'll throw it out. There's only through the blood of Christ and the grace of God that can be removed, that we can be acceptable to him. And it is always amazing that when we come to realize that grace, and by the way, may I point out to you something else about grace? It is never sought. Say that again. It is never sought. People don't seek God. There's no one seeking after God who is turned away. No one on his own ever seeks God. There is none that seeketh after God. No, not one. It is grace that begins to work in our hearts that causes us to seek him. I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew he moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. 'Twas not I that found, O Savior, true. No, I was found of thee. It is not sought, and it cannot be bought. It was paid for entirely by Christ. How wondrous it is. It is amazing. Thirdly, because it is so incredibly powerful. There is nothing in the realm of human life which is as powerful as the grace of God. It is the most transforming power on this earth. It transforms drunkards into sober men and women. It breaks the shackles of addicts to cocaine, alcohol, cigarettes, or whatever other dope the person may be addicted to. It sets men free. It makes the homosexual straight. And thousands can attest to that. It makes the lascivious and the vile, the profane, the vulgar clean. It's the most powerful force in the world. You remember Mutiny on the Bounty? If you didn't read the book, you surely saw the movie or movies. Probably at least three, I think, have been made about it. And about the heartless captain that provoked a mutiny among the sailors, and they fled. Nine of these British sailors fled first to one island, and they left there, fearing that they would be discovered. They took with them their Tahitian wives, nine British sailors, nine Tahitian wives, five Tahitian men, including a chieftain, and their wives. And they went out into the open sea seeking a place to hide. They found an island which they called Pitcairn Island. And in the trilogy of books, which begins with Mutiny on the Bounty, the third one is entitled Pitcairn's Island. There is probably few places where you can see such evidence of the powerful effect of the grace of God. These sailors were rough-hewn, to say the least. The Maori, Tahitian natives, built an altar to worship their pagan gods. These Britishers did nothing of the sort, for they had no god. Soon they began to drink, they fell to arguing, and then to fighting, and then the killing began. If you remember Lord of the Flies, what happened when a number of young teenagers were set adrift, and the savagery, butchery that ensued, that was fiction. Pitcairn Island is fact. Some of the natives killed one of the British men, and three of the Tahitian wives of the Englishmen cut off the heads of Tahitians to show their anger at this. The biggest, roughest one of them all, finally someone put an axe in the back of his head. McCoy drank so much that he lost his mind and ran right off a 500-foot cliff, died on the rocks below. Soon there were only two Englishmen left, Young and Smith. Young was the only one there that knew how to read, and they found a Bible in a chest they'd brought with them. And he began to teach Smith how to read from the Bible. But not only did he begin to learn how to read, but he began to read about the great message of the New Testament, which is the message of grace mentioned 150 times in the New Testament, of a God who loves them, of a God who is willing to forgive them and to change them and to receive them as his sons and daughters. Both of these men were converted. And then, unfortunately, Young died, the first man to die of natural causes on the island. They had arrived in 1789, the year of our Constitution. I'm sure they didn't know about that, but interestingly, Alexander Smith changed his name to John Adams and began a new colony. And he began to teach the Bible. Every evening he had devotions for the entire colony. And soon everyone was converted to Christ. Children were born, and the colony grew and grew, and they all were converted to Christ. Finally, 20 years after they landed, the first British ship discovered them. And they were so astonished at the peaceful, blissful model community that had been created on that island, they dropped the charges against them. You didn't see that in the movie, did you? You didn't see the power of God to change the most vicious, drunken, vile lives into model citizens. But that's what really happened. Grace is amazing also because it is so expensive. We are all, most people at least, are impressed when you see something that costs a tremendous amount of money. Whether it be the Taj Mahal or the Hope Diamond. I mentioned that I didn't know how many carats were in the Hope Diamond, but one lady informed me between services that there were about 350. Now, I cannot vouch for that. Somebody's going to look it up, and it may not be true. 350 carats, a few potatoes and onions, no doubt, also. That must be some kind of a diamond. And I have a sneaking suspicion that if we said that it was on display in the back hall, that many people would want to go and look at it because it is so precious, so expensive. Well, not nearly as expensive or precious as the grace of God, which was purchased at the price of the blood of the Son of God, of the Creator of the universe. He died in agony to provide that grace, which is so incredibly amazing. Why is grace amazing? It is so expensive, so life-transformingly powerful, so totally undeserved, so rare, and so free to us that it is an astonishment to all who discover it, that just as they are, they can be accepted by God. Charlotte Elliott was a beautiful young lady with a remarkable voice. And she lived in a home in London where everyone there was a Christian except Charlotte. And a famous minister, Cesar Millan, visited and was talking, and he challenged her as to whether or not she was a Christian. And she said that she was not. And she said, "How can I possibly come to him?" And his answer was, "Just as you are." And so she went to her room, and with many tears, she invited Christ into her life. And she sat down that night at 2 a.m. and wrote these words, "Just as I am without one plea, except thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a fear and many a doubt, I come, I come." Ah, the amazing, wondrous grace of God. Have you experienced it? Let us pray. Oh God, change hearts right now, I pray. Cause some to repent and to cast themselves upon thee, knowing that very soon this life is past and we shall stand before thy judgment seat. Help us not to do it graceless, oh God, for then we have no hope whatsoever. in thy name. Amen.
I've never heard anyone explain God's grace quite like Dr. Kennedy. I hope that you know that grace of God that offers heaven, eternal life, as an absolutely free gift. If you don't let another day go by. Accept the gift that Christ offers you today. He alone died on a cross and rose from the dead to pay the penalty for our sins, to purchase a place in heaven for us. You know, no other faith has a religious figure like that who died for the sins of their people. Only Christ laid down His life willingly so that we might know forgiveness for our sins and receive the gift of eternal life in heaven with God. And not just that, God offers us life to the full here on earth too. The way that we receive this gift is by placing our trust in Jesus Christ. If you'd like to know for certain that you'll spend eternity with God in heaven and enjoy life to the full now, then pray this prayer with me now saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I repent of my sins and ask you to forgive me and cleanse me and make me brand new. I accept the free gift of your undeserved love and favor and place my trust in you alone for my salvation. Help me to live for you from this day forward. In your name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, we have a special book written by Dr. Kennedy that we'd like to send you. It's Beginning Again. In these pages, you'll find the book of John from the New Testament, a great place to start your Bible reading. You'll also learn how to study the Bible, how to pray, which is so important for us. To receive your copy of Beginning Again, just write to our address or call our toll-free number. God bless you as you do.
As you've seen today, the amazing grace of the gospel is absolutely unique to Christianity. Only in Christ are the demands of the law and the due punishment of sinners met. And only in Christ can true forgiveness be found. Grace is free for you and me, but it's ultimately expensive for Christ. If you would like a copy of Dr. Kennedy's message, What's So Amazing About Grace, we'll send it to you as our thanks for your generous gift to help us broadcast messages like this one. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11164, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free, 888-332-3069, or go online to djkm.org. And please include a generous gift toward the ongoing work of this ministry. I'm Frank Wright. For D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we're standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Kennedy Classics. We'll see you next time.
This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.